Thank you. Well, Josh, I guess I'm going to forward this slide here. Oh, you did it. Thank you. All right. Well, welcome back. Thank you for letting me come up and talk again. I didn't feel nervous until she just read all that stuff about me. So that's kind of funny. It's just like all of a sudden it just slammed in. But I do have a script, so I'll try to stick with it. Because when I write these at the wee hours of the night, I seem to like be really calm at that time. So anyway, our book this year has been Relaxed. Let me get settled here. And our guiding verse is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And I'm just going to stop there. You know the rest. But it does say all your ways. All. So before we start, will you pray with me? Because I don't want to rush into this without turning this over to the care of God first. And I could easily run over that, but I want to stop. And this is how I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways, right? This is what I have to do. So this is Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. The first time I heard that was here in sanctuary, and often the pastors use it to pray before they speak. So I just feel like that's a good one to start with. So thank you, Lord, for this word and the sharing that you and I've done over this. So I just can't wait to do it. Thank you. And so this path that we've been on, this is not the first day of this book, right? So we've been on a path. We've talked about trusting God with our heart, where to lean, and our own understandings. And we talked about trials and grief and risk and money. And last week, Cole gave us a lot to think about with attachment theory and friendship. Thank you for that, Cole. Do you remember Island, Wave, and Anchor? Did you go home and ponder that? What a good visual, right? It's a great book, by the way. I'm not going to plug it. This is off script, I should say. But I think it's a really good read for anybody. Anyway, so our topic today, as Trudy was saying, is mistakes. And I just love this little face. When I was looking for a visual for this picture, for this slide, I was like, oh, that little one. Oh, I've seen that face. And sometimes I'm holding a mask up to all of you because I have that face, and maybe you do too. I have a lot of mistakes, and I'll share some of them with you in a few minutes, but we're going to talk about mistakes. As a math teacher, and all I wanted to do when I was in high school was teach, and then I got to college and they talked me out of it. My friends in the dorms are like, oh, why would you do such a thing? That's just people who can't do anything else teach. And I'm like, oh. And then by the end of my college years, I'm like, no, I still think I'm supposed to go teach. And so I did that, and I spent a good many years, almost 30 years in the classroom teaching math, and I love teaching math. And as a math teacher, you spend a lot of hours correcting papers of people's mistakes of math. And people, you know, they have their feelings. Mistakes make people feel deep feelings. Some people can laugh heartily at their mistakes, and I think they're very mature. And then there's people like me, and I'm like, that's not funny. I feel a lot of things like this little boy. It's like shame, crying, fear, anger, guilt. And these are all unpleasant feelings. Jordan Peterson calls these unpleasant feelings. He's like a famous psychologist now, so if you want to learn more about that. But all unpleasant feelings, and yet if your heart is feeling those feelings, you know your heart's still alive, because we're meant to play all the notes of our hearts, and those are some of the ones we get to play. So unless someone else is making the mistakes, they can go really hard to us in our hearts. And as we go into this topic, just keep in mind, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone. Everyone in here makes mistakes. Everyone. So to get us started, I've got a couple of them that I found on the internet. How about this one? Save even more. It was $3. Now it's 4 for $12. And I look at that and I go, is that a mistake? Yeah. Okay, that one's fun. Here's the next one. Snoopy. So this honestly would have been a problem I taught to sixth graders. And what do you think? He's working hard. He's got his pencil. Do you remember PEMDAS? Okay, so the multiplying goes first. And then you subtract what you got from the multiplication. And then you add. When I was a kid, I'm like, oh, I'll just do with the ones I like first. And then I'll get to the harder ones later. And I was so surprised there was another way you should do it. I'm like, what? Anyway, that's kind of a fun one. Did you get negative 9? Yeah? And you don't get negative 9? 6 times 3, 18. 3 minus 18, negative 15. Plus 6, negative 9. So that's one thing about math. Teachers can leave you behind and you never knew what happened. And then that's not a good style. You got to bring everybody into the conversation. So anyway, easy one to miss. What else can we do here? Look at this one. This one's subtle. Can you see it? Do you see there's two units of measure on here? There's cents and decimals for a pound, 0.49 cents per pound. Okay, so that one's kind of tricky to see. I like this next one. I looked at that, I'm like, all right, I got the double, the senior citizen invitation recently. I was like, all right, I like that one. And I thought that this would be a good point to kind of introduce a couple things that I've done that I would call mistakes. How about when I got on the wrong airplane? This is before they scanned everything, right? And I sat in my seat and I missed my flight, and the woman who wanted my seat had a ticket in her hand, and she's like, that's my seat. And I'm like, no, it's my seat. And we had to take our tickets out, and for sure I was at the wrong gate in the wrong plane. So that was exciting. How about when I left my purse in a taxi at the airport in Louisiana, and the taxi pulled away, and I'm standing there with 3-year-old Chris and a car seat and a buggy, and my husband's like, okay, let's go. And he found the taxi. I don't know how. God helped him find it, because it was like, what could have happened, right? So we ended up making our flight and everything. That was crazy. Okay, when I lost my makeup bag after I got home and it was lost in the house, you know, have you done those? How about when I shared a secret with some other people and that was something I should have been wise enough to know I shouldn't have shared? Have you ever done that? That's a bad mistake. How about when this never happens to you, right? But I drank too much a couple times and I wasn't driving, but it was not a good feeling. I did not like that. How about when I sent the email in anger? Do you ever do that? Okay, that's a mistake. Don't do that. Have someone else read your emails before you send emails that are terse or harsh, or let somebody else call that out for you, because you might not be able to see it. That's what I do now, because otherwise, you know. And then what about if I look at the calendar and I have lots of things to do on that day and I just scheduled a lunch and a walk with you? Is that a mistake? For sure. How about using a harsh tone with my family, my husband, my friends, my kids? How about going to Costco? Do you ever make a mistake going there? Okay. I bought every little thing that looked great and I got it home and then I was like, what was I doing? You can see I am an expert at mistakes, so that's why I'm up here, and that's why I chose to talk about this, because honestly, this would have crushed me a couple years ago, that, you know, this whole idea of being a perfect person or doing your best, always doing your best, and that whole narrative in my mind of like, I can't make a mistake, and if I do, then there's disappointment, there's damage, there's all these different things. Okay. So that's my funny stuff. You can share with me your funny mistakes too. I would love to hear some funny mistakes that you guys have. All right, let's move on. Oh, there it goes. Okay, so on your yellow piece of paper, there's like What I like to use is blanks so that you can follow along, and then you have something at the end about the talk. And one of the first blanks, I think, is, actually, I don't remember, but I think it's, the blank is sin and means missing the mark in archery. And so math is one thing, and, you know, losing your purse at the in a taxi is one thing. Usually those are like careless mistakes. You forgot to carefully consider something, so we call those careless mistakes. But they're, it's not that we didn't care. It's just that for the moment, our minds did a skip or whatever. But God sees our mistakes differently, and he has different definitions of that. So he sees our mistake. We call it sin in church. It's a church word, but it really is an old word that just means an archery term. You just missed the mark. So you missed the mark. It wasn't a judgment call like, oh, you're bad and that's good. It just means you missed something. You missed the mark. So that kind of helped me reset, well, what is sin? And I think it's an old, I don't know the derivation, but I would guess it's probably old, like English or Latin or something. Anyway, he has two things he wants us to do, and you guys have heard this before. Love the Lord with all your heart, lean, and mind, strength, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've heard that before. So anything that he looks for is like a soul mistake. Like, he doesn't care that I left my purse in the taxi, although that was a great mystery of how to solve it, and he helped with the logistics of that. But if we had gotten into blaming and shaming and justifying, then now we're into character flaws and soul mistakes. So things like this, blaming, justifying, not seeing the truth, or lying, arguing, overly controlling others, not listening to people, keeping idols, complaining a lot, criticizing, or just call them the seven deadly sins that pride, lust, greed, gluttony, anger, sloth, envy, and so on. Just go there. So these are the kind of mistakes that God really wants to help us with. And that's the key. He wants us to go to him and get help. We're not supposed to do this life on our own. That's the big lesson of life. Don't do it on your own. Do it with me, God. Not me, Amy, but God. Okay, moving on. The one rule. Okay, so I heard this. I think this was like 20 years ago in here, or maybe 18. It's like God had one rule. He was the perfect parent. He had one rule. They could do anything they wanted to. He had one rule, and we couldn't handle it. Think about that. One rule. Don't eat the fruit. Period. From that one tree. Every other tree, fine. Not that tree. That was it. And somehow we were rebellious with even that. That's the core of it, is that we wanted to do it our own way. And I still see that in my children. I still see that in everyone else's child when I'm teaching. They all want to do it their own way. I want to do it my own way. Do you want to do it your own way? Do you ever find yourself, well, I wanted to do it this way, and everyone else wants to do it that way, and that grinds on me? I mean, do you feel it? It's us. We're deciding we want something different than what God wants. So that's the problem. And this is a picture of Mexico from years ago when Evan Colding thought the theme should be #I'm not God. So I thought that was a good way to say, in a fresh way, the problem is I'm not God. #I'm not God. And we usually balk to have, okay, think about this. Kids turning in their papers. Do they want to have their papers graded? Not really. So we usually balk at having to have our papers graded, to feel put upon maybe by our bosses that they give us a different schedule or some other thing. Maybe we get mad because we don't win the hammer competition like these kids are doing. Maybe they get angry. Have you ever been angry on the freeway because you have to share the lane with other people? Like, we're sharing a resource of the freeway, and yet we're not God. How about if you lose a friendship because of gossip, and maybe they've hurt you, or maybe you accidentally hurt other people? Again, these are all soul mistakes. And then there's another big one in our culture right now. It's pride. Pride in believing we know the best. And I'll say me too, because I feel it too. And politics, you can hear it. Everyone has an opinion, as if we have all the answers and all the information to make all the answers. But #we are not God. So we make mistakes. All right, so in math class, guess what I have a lot of on hand? I have a lot of erasers, and the better ones go fast. So God helps us erase the mistakes. He helps us do that. To acknowledge them, he wants us to acknowledge I've made a mistake and to move past them, to mature and not make more mistakes like that through rebellion, pride, or ignorance. We need to learn to forgive and be forgiven. And God's made a way for us to do that with him. And we don't have to have it all figured out. We just need to learn wisdom. And we don't need to be perfect to approach him to get it. In fact, we just need to be honest with him that we don't have it all together, that we are imperfect, that we are dirty, we need a wash, and we left our purse in the car. I need your help, God. I'm losing it here. In fact, we just need to be honest as we can muster with him and admit we need his help again and again. Here's a verse that I love to go to for this. Psalm 103, 12 and 13 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him," meaning in awe of him. "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us," put the word mistakes from us. He can erase them. He can remove them. Isn't that wonderful? It's as far as the east is from the west. Do we trust that? Do we read that and go, wow, God, you're amazing. You can do that for me. You can put my mistake over there, and it's over there, and I'll be okay, and we can move forward. Okay, so practical life, you're going to say something about that next. Yeah, but what about my life, right? Practically speaking, we've got a lot to do. We've got a lot of thinking we do. We've got feelings. And as we deal with life, this mistake to go into self-reliance, as most of us do. We've been taught that from, you know, the American history. We can do it. And we can, but we can't. And the more we go into pride, the more mistakes we make. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, I can tell you that for years, I was a fool. I couldn't find time to read anything. I was grading papers, much less a book that would change my life. I was grading those papers and certainly didn't want to know how I'd been disappointing God. I was in the world of teaching, and thank you very much. I was working very hard at it. Can you hear the selfish ambition? I just wanted to be good at the teaching. Leave me alone. Very prideful about that. Well, I've been healed of that now because I don't teach anymore, and I can look back on it and go, wow, what was I doing there? My mindset was completely self-reliant, and I was really harsh and negative to those who wanted to steer me toward healthier ways. And I've had to learn to see that as a mistake and admit it to my family and say, gosh, that was really hard on you guys, wasn't it? And they're like, yeah. And yet there was good in it too, so it was really hard to sort out. It was like good teaching happened, but bad family happened. So how do I put that together? Well, I'm just going to have to be better going forward. I'm going to have to be an excellent mom going forward and not be an excellent out-of-the-house person, but an excellent in-the-house person, and apologize and move on, and hopefully they can forgive me. And they have. So I feel like God changed my identity to a true saved child of God first, and then I could look at my mistakes. I could look at that pride and go, wow, that was kind of hard. I don't really like looking at it right now, but I'm admitting it to you. And that's part of it. If you can admit your mistakes, then they can take less power out of it. They won't control as much. It's like a thing you can look at and name and put it somewhere else versus holding on to it. It's a secret. I don't even want to look at it. Don't ask me about it. That's pride. So anyway, what happened? Frequency. So how did I become healed of the shame of making mistakes and being a fool? Frequency. Studies show that if you read the Bible at least 4 times a week, your mind will start to be transformed. You will know how to love God. You will learn how to forgive. You will learn how to love others. And isn't that life, all of that? So do you read the Bible? And if not yet, and you're wondering why God doesn't seem real to you, that's probably why. So that would be my big encouragement, is start there. But let me guess, you might say, life is so demanding, you say. My husband, the kids, the dog, the house, the job, the news, the dinner, the remodel. There's any number of reasons we can come up with. And I decided I would exercise and listen. So that's when I decided, okay, well, I'm going to exercise, so I'll just put on a podcast. I'll put on some worship music. I'll put on the Bible. I'll listen to it. Can I just, God, will you let me double task? You know, one of those. And it changed a lot for me, just doing that one move toward him. Then it gave me, oh, I want to have music on in my home now. So now we play worship music at home. Now I have it in the car. I want to have Caleb on in the car or some other podcast that's drawing me closer to God. Honestly, I can't get enough of it right now. 24/7. I listen to Tim Keller. I listen to Joyce Meyer. I listen to all the pastors around here. I go to church every week. I go to the midweek church. I'm so all in right now, and I hope you can be too, because all you need to do is recognize I've been in the shallow end of the pool this time, and I have big problems. I need to get in the deep end of the pool with God. And that's really how I kind of saw it. You've seen that, you probably heard that Ocean song. It's been out for decades now. It says, take me deeper into love with you and trust with you. And I'm like, I sang that heartily, and now I'm like, oh, this is what you meant. Okay, yeah. And it's been good. So listen as you walk. Listen as you drive. Listen as you exercise, make dinner. But best is to sit with it and let it wash you clean if you sit with it. Life is lived in this practical realm, but making the dinner, carpools, trips, family gatherings, emails, fixing the house, really God's with you the whole time. And he sees what you've done and what you haven't done, what you've said and haven't said. He's right there with you. So that's when, and Paul says, pray incessantly. Well, it doesn't mean you can stop what you're doing. You have to keep doing. But you can say, God, let's go wash the dishes. God, let's go for a drive. God, will you read this chapter in the Bible with me? God, I'm going to go, you know, take a moment and a bubble bath, and I just want peace. Will you give me your peace while I'm doing this? It's an all-day-long conscious contact with God. That's what I feel like I want all the time now, is just that conscious contact. He's right there with me anyway. Am I believing that? And at this day and age, right now, I'm saying I believe it. So anyway, I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm not God. He is. The blessings will come. And the prayers will be lifted up, and you're going to pray, and you're going to wonder, is the blessing going to come? I'm praying. And it does say in Revelation 5:8 that we fill golden bowls in heaven with our prayers. So if you feel like your prayers are just going up there, and you're just like, I'm not sure it's doing any good, I'm like, no, visualize the golden bowl. You're putting another one in, and he's going, wow, she's really filling that bowl. Let's get something good happening for her. And then expect it. Like, what it's going to be, you don't know, but it's coming. Anticipate it. That's our hope, that God is listening, and he will do something. You just don't know when or what or how, but he is going to. That's for sure. Because you're one of his beloved children. You're a princess of the mighty king, and so are your children. So that's what we pray for. So did I get through? Let's see. One more. The gummy bear story. Okay, so Megan's book, she has a little boy, and I'm sure you can see a little girl in your mind if you have girls, but the gummy bears on the kitchen counter, the gummy bears are no longer on the kitchen counter, and now the gummy bears are somewhere, and she knows there's only one more person in the house, and so, who took the gummy bears, right? So she's like kind of mad about it because he was told not to already, and she's like, so honey, did you take them? And he's clammed up, won't say. So she's getting frustrated. But then she was careful. She slowed herself down. She decided to cool it down and just ask questions. One question of, I wonder where they could have gone. I wonder where they could be. Maybe they're hiding. Maybe they want to come back out. Maybe they got, did somebody maybe misplace them? Like, she just coaxed him along. I'm guessing he was like 3 or 4 years old. Well, eventually, she just stopped and she said, you know, I love you so much, and I know what's happened here. And it's okay if you tell me what really happened, because nothing you say to me can change how I feel about you. I will love you no matter what you say. And then he coughed up the truth. And he did that because he could tell that she was going to love him anyway. He trusted that relationship, but he needed to tell the truth to restore the relationship. And she reassured his heart. She forgave him. They cleaned up the mess of the gummy bears. The point is to parent like God, or grandparent like God, or sister, treat sister and brother like God would treat them. In this way, we tell them, you know, our relationship's more important. I love you no matter what. This is, I think, what happened. Can you tell me if that's true or not? And then hopefully they can tell you the truth, and then you can go clean up the mess together with God's help. So be a child of God. Go to him and tell the truth, but parent like God, because he does it a good way. So here's one of my last slides. So this is the mirror, right? And she's got a pretty face. She's looking in her mirror. And then, but can you admit to yourself and to God and to another human being what you've done wrong? And this is step 5. I'm in an Al-Anon program, and that's a program that helps those of us who are affected by people who are struggling with alcoholism, either in a relative or friend. So if this is a new idea for you, this is like a partner program with Alcoholics Anonymous. It's for the people who are affected. And we have a 12-step program where we regularly admit to God the exact natures of our wrongs, and that's another code word for mistakes. So, but we do this in order so that we can walk with God. We don't have to hide from him. We don't have to be in the garden and hide from him like Adam and Eve did. We can say, Lord, I really made a mistake here. Will you help me by letting me forgive myself? Will you forgive me if I repent? I'm going to repent. I am repenting. I'm not going to do that again, or I'm going to try not to, best of my ability. And then can you admit it to someone else? If you can admit it to even one more person, you're over it. The mistake isn't having hold of you anymore. You can move beyond it. You can name it, you can deal with it, and move beyond it. Anyway, so he loves us. God loves us always. Isaiah 49:16, we are graven on the palms of his hands. So imagine Jesus with his the nails through his hands. We are graven on the palms of his hands. So that's amazing. And he's always known you. Psalm 139, if you read it, or if your children would read it, read this to your children at night. Psalm 139, read it to yourself. Psalm 139. It's that one, you'll know it when you see it. You know, God, you've known me from the beginning. You know my getting up and my laying down. It's that one. Read it to yourself. It's not that long. It's like 2 minutes if you read it. Can you spare 2 minutes right before going to bed? Maybe that'll help with your insomnia. Just going to bed with some peace. Like, God, you know me. You love me. You know I'm lying down. Help me sleep through the night. So we need to admit to the most loving being, the King of the universe, what we did wrong. He forgives us when we confess. We don't have to be perfect. But when we're wrong, we need to know it and promptly admit it. I had a harsh tone, honey, I'm so sorry. Let me back up. Let me say that again better. Things like that. Seeing our sin is uncomfortable. I was, like, 5 years ago, if you had said, oh, Amy, that's kind of harsh, I would have gotten defensive. I would have said, oh, what are you talking about? You know, because I didn't see it. And also, I had the wrong idea about defensiveness. I thought, you know, like in football, if you have offense, you have defense, and that's how it's worked out. And I didn't realize that being defensive means I'm not taking responsibility for what I'm doing or saying, and that's hard for those around us who are dealing with my defensiveness or anyone else's, right? So, but I've learned, so I'm learning. Spiritual stuff is hard. It takes time. I'm very fast math learner. I'm a very slow spiritual learner. So if you feel like you're a slow spiritual learner, I'm in that same part of the bus with you. I just need to sit there and think about it for long periods of time. Anyway, here's one last thing. If you look in the mirror, you'll see your face. But if you look in the Bible, you'll see your soul. and you'll see how sin is there, and you'll see how God loves you anyway. And you'll see how he wants to clean you up, and he's already promised to. Jesus says he's the living water. Living water meaning he met the woman at the well. She was this woman with a very bad reputation in her town, and he had living water to wash her clean. She was boasting about meeting him and telling everyone, my mistakes are great now, look at him. And that was because she was saying, look at Jesus. He did that for her. So anyway, look at this. This is one last mistake. Do you see it? The earth is flat. How many of us bought that lie? Not our generation, right? But how many generations bought the lie that the earth was flat? That was a mistake, and it kept them from learning the real truth about things for a very long time, and it was very convincing. So even if you've been wrong for a very long time, there's still time to learn, and the earth is round, and you're glorious too, and you're just going to get cleaned up, and God's going to work with you, and you're going to have this amazing, abundant life we talked about last year. It's going to be great. Get into your mistakes. That's power. That's what you want. You want to say, okay, I'm a gummy bear thief. I need help. Yeah. So we're going to end there, because in the end, aren't we all trying to walk our own walks? We're trying to be God, but if we're smart enough or if we're not foolish, we would say, oh yeah, I'm trying to be God right now. I'm not a fool. I'm being wise. I'm going to turn this back to God. I'm going to let him guide things. I'm going to rest in his love. I'm going to do my house, my family, my marriage in his love to the best of my ability. And when I make a mistake, I'm going to say, God, I made a mistake again. Can you help me fix this? Because we can't clean ourselves. He does that for us. All right, that's it, you guys. Love you. All right. I have one more closing prayer here. Thank you, God, for this message of love, being fully known, and the forgiveness of sins and mistakes. We don't have to be perfect because you made a way for us to know you and be in relationship with you and be released from the power of sin. You are the Alpha and Omega. Thank you, Lord, for your love and that you are God and we aren't. In Jesus' name, amen.